keep calm and carry on. That seems to be the attitude of the Taiwanese as China simulates a blockade of the island, a possible precursor to an invasion. The U.S. President Donald Trump appeared to shrug off the war games too, saying it was more of the same. But have the latest drills taken the brinkmanship to a new level? In what's been dubbed Justice Mission 2025, China launched 2 days of live-fire drills, deploying warships, bombers and new amphibious assault ships aimed at simulating a blockade. Richard McGregor is a senior fellow for East Asia at the Lowy Institute. Welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is Donald Trump right to shrug this off and say he's not worried?
Well, yes and no. It's certainly not the first time that China has conducted these types of drills. This is the first sort of simulation of a blockade of the island since April. But I think every time China does it, they can do it more efficiently, if you like, faster, with greater capabilities on display. And, you know, as you say, it's not just a drill. It is in fact, rehearsal. For potential action against Taiwan. So considering China's policy, which is to take Taiwan, I don't think anybody should be relaxed.
Let's talk about the timing. This comes following a record arms sale from the US to Taiwan. First of all, how badly did that go down in China?
Well, I don't think China was surprised by the arms sale, and I'm not entirely sure that the timing of the drill is related to the arms sale. The arms sale was announced only about 10 days ago. These exercises would, I think, take more than that to plan. But I think China's quite happy for that timing, so it looks like a response to the arms sale. I also think that the timing, political timing, is also related to or can be tied to the recent dispute between China and Japan over, which is related to Taiwan and a potential conflict. So it's a couple of things, but this would be happening anyway, regardless of the American arms sale.
And China says this is a warning. To whom is it a warning?
Well, essentially, you know, China prepares for war, they strategize for war, they drill for war. But they don't want to fight a war. And I think the key to this is they want to break the will of people in Taiwan and essentially force the Taiwanese government to the negotiating table over some form of unification. So it's really intimidation and pressure. That's the key to it. And, of course, the second audience is mainly the United States, also possibly Japan. In other words, their message to China's message is that, you know, we can do this. We can surround the island and you can do nothing about it. And if there were to be a conflict, you couldn't get there in time.
We've been talking about, yes, the simulation for a blockade, a possible precursor to invasion. But do you think if anything were to eventuate, a blockade would be the way that China would try and take over Taiwan?
Well, I think the method they most favour is one level down from blockade, and that's a quarantine. You know, a blockade by itself, I think, is under international law an act of war. Quarantine isn't. Quarantine is one level down from that, where you sort of stop and inspect, you know, everything coming and going. You know, China might declare, for example, we'd wake up one morning and China would have declared Taiwan to be part of China's custom zone. They would say, well, don't worry about that. All it means is that a different sort of inspector as goods come and go. You all know Taiwan is part of China anyway, so just don't worry about it. And quarantine is kind of law enforcement in theory. So quarantine, blockade, conflict, I think that's the level of escalation.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking with Richard McGregor, a senior fellow for East Asia at Australia's Lowy Institute. Do you then think that a full-scale conflict, sometimes suggested that it might happen by 2027, is realistic, or is this just posturing?
Well, I don't think it is realistic, but anything is possible. The 2027 deadline is not something that's ever been said publicly by China. It's US intelligence. reporting that Xi Jinping had told his military leaders to be ready, if necessary, for a conflict over Taiwan by 2027. So it's not any official deadline. You know, so 2027 is very soon. It's next year, almost next year, sorry, from tomorrow. It's, you know, Trump is unpredictable. The US response is unpredictable. And also 2027 is the year that Xi Jinping probably wants to prepare for a fourth term in office. So it's not necessarily a deadline which meets all expectations, if you like. But, you know, anything is possible. But I don't think China wants to invade Taiwan. They want to win it without fighting.
Donald Trump also said, oh, you know, I have a really good relationship with President Xi. He hasn't mentioned it. What did you make of those comments?
Well, I think he didn't mention it on in their meeting in South Korea, but he certainly mentioned it a few weeks later when he called Trump during the middle of the China-Japan spat and made a big deal about it. So he has mentioned it since that time. And, I mean, whatever happens, China will not relent on Taiwan. It doesn't matter if Xi Jinping is in office and another leader takes over. There's no policy change. It's always going to be an issue. And, of course, Trump, says he has good relationships with lots of people. When he was talking with Zelensky yesterday in Florida, he talked about his excellent relationship with European leaders, you know, so we should take all that with a pinch of salt.
And from what you've been able to glean about the exercises, was there anything that you saw there that signified a significant ramping up?
Excuse me. I think it's, I mean, there's 2 days of live fire exercises, 10 hours of continuous live fire exercises. I think the rocket forces, which is China's nuclear-armed unit, if you like, were involved. I wasn't sure that had happened previously. There's been greater use of drones this time. I think it's the interoperability increases each time and the intensity increases each time. It's not just about the number of ships and boats.
And what do you make of the Taiwanese stand, as we described it, keep calm and carry on?
Well, I wouldn't sort of say it's keep calm and carry on so much as, you know, it's a bit like North Korea and South Korea. The populations are used to this conflict, and perhaps in the case of Taiwan, a little bit too used to it. I mean, anybody born after, you know, 1949 in Taiwan has had the spectre of China over them for their entire lives. And so they tend not to overreact, as it were. Now, does that breed complacency? Not necessarily, but perhaps a little bit so. And, of course, within Taiwan, Taiwan has its own domestic politics, which is really a little bit about China, but also a little bit about who, gets power in Taiwan itself. And I think domestic politics plays a role in how Taiwan responds and, of course, how Taiwan arms itself, because the US has announced a package of arms sales to Taiwan, but Taiwan has to approve that. And in its parliamentary system, it's always very contentious and highly politicized how that happens.
Richard McGregor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.